There's a reason why we meet together. We talked about that today in Hebrews chapter 10. Certainly is one reason why we do that. As was mentioned many times out in class, the book of Hebrews is not necessarily directed at Christians today, but just like all books of the Bible that we have, as is mentioned even in the New Testament, all books are written for our knowledge and understanding that we may know God. One thing, and I've mentioned this earlier, I mentioned it in the introduction to our first assembly lessons before we got started, is letting God lead. And when I say lead, what's the first thing that pops in your mind? If I asked all of you to close your mind right now, what would you see? For me, most of the time, it's somebody up in front of me on a path. I'm just following behind them. Just a drone right behind them, wherever they go. But there's different parts of leadership, and sometimes we think about God leading us, or Christ leading us, or following in that footsteps. The idea that sometimes is in Scripture, we just make too simple. We think of, okay, God and Christ are up ahead of us on this path. We're down at Hocking Hills. It's getting pretty. That's what my mind is to. And so I'm following along. And you know how those crazy, the rocks can get crazy. You really got to watch the path. And Scripture is very clear on that. It uses that metaphor for that very reason. There's things that will trip you along the path. And even those words are almost verbatim spoken to us by some of the writers of the New Testament books. But leadership is more than that. Yes, somebody is leading me if I'm following them. But the idea that I want to try to convey, letting God lead us, what does that mean? How can I, a human being, a creation of God, allow Him or let Him lead me? That sounds like I'm being too full of myself, doesn't it? God can do anything. I have no responsibility. Well, that's not true. Eternally, if you do what the world wants to do, I'll allow it, but you're only going to get the physical benefits, the difficulties that you're going to face. We still have choice. We mentioned from our study this morning, verses, and we say not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, and we think, oh, we can't miss a church service. And certainly, if our heart's right, that will be true. But as you start adding what is said before and what is said after, you see the importance there. And I've got a list of notes in my paper for just what I want to dig up for what we talked about. But letting God lead us. And I want to talk about this time on how we can let God lead us. So I mentioned before what we normally think of as a leader is somebody in front of us. That's not what I want to talk about. I want to talk about a person that is in a managerial role. Somebody that maybe is in your department that you look up to, that you have to answer to. Maybe you are that person. How do you want the people behind you or under you to respect you? If I'm a manager and I've got a whole company behind me, the company I work for now is R&L Carriers. They seem like a small company, but they've got about 10,000 trucks. They've got about 10,000 employees. I mean, it's a big company. And the owners, the principals, all work and live in Wilmington. Each one of them has a responsibility to make that company either succeed or fail. And every manager that's underneath them in the company is held accountable for the people that they provide leadership for. So how can those people let their manager lead them? Well, first of all, have respect for that person. How does that person have respect? They need to know what needs done. Now we can go back to the idea I talked about earlier about somebody that's walking a path in front of you. If I go someplace, I've never been there, and neither will be in some bad shape. We might get on paths and in mountains and valleys that we have no business being down and could cause us harm or peril. A good leader is going to know exactly where to go and is going to follow them based on that understanding. Whether that's accrued knowledge over their lifetime, whether it's them working from the bottom up, as we've seen people do, start whatever job there is in this company, follow me. It's like, okay, that makes sense. So how do we respect God? God knows everything. He created everything. There is nothing that exists He is not fully understanding of. And Jesus many times said, I know what my Father has told me, and there's nothing my Father has not told me. So as much as God knows, Christ knows. Both of them tell us the way that we need to go. And so it's up to us to put them in a leadership role and follow them. Most of the time, these kind of lessons are about us following, because that's sometimes where we get tripped up so often. But I want to talk today about how to let God lead us and how we can do that. Some of the things that we talked about in our first assembly, and these ski animations are going to get me again. Some of the verses that were read, Psalms 31:3, You are my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for your name's sake, lead me and guide me. I'm a leader. Somebody that really knows exactly what to do. The psalmist says, you are my rock and fortress. You're my me. Therefore, for your name's sake, Lord, lead me and guide me. Confidence in you, God, take me along. I've seen proof that you are the right one to follow. We read in Psalms 25:5, lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. Okay, so if you're in a situation, there's people firing, kill you, and you know that your leader is able to save you, are you going to just run out into that field, into that battlefield, and try to target to protect them? But here the psalmist said, you are the God of my salvation. You're my confidence in you. You I wait all the day. You're going to wait that you can get behind and trust what we want to do as well. Psalms 23, 2 and 3, he makes me to lie down in green pastures, leads me beside still waters, and restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness. A number of things sometimes we skip over here. It means it's well watered and it's safe. Walk beside the river, barely moving, and it's pretty to look at. I don't think that's necessarily what's meant here. What's the opposite of a still water? Isn't it a raging, flooding river that's just got a torrent going? You want to go someplace where the waters get... I think the answer goes back to those other passages. Fortress and a God of my salvation. So how do we let God lead us? Jeremiah 10:23 says, O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. There's about four passages I've got in here that I've used before, but it is so applicable to today's topic, letting God lead. So first of all, we need to know, if we have a leader, what do we want to pay attention to? Number one, the way of man, the way of me, the way of Roger, is not in myself. I know where I want to go sometimes, but it's not a good place that's going to get me to a heavenly abode. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. Well, you can say, well, God, how can you even say that? How can Jeremiah write this? Watch this. I just walked forward. I took my own steps. Well, that may be true physically, but that is not true spiritually. Only God knows the right way for us to go. Judges chapter 17, verse 6. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Some of these passages overlap some situations. I was going to talk about some background, but I'm just going to go forward and read what's in the text for these particular verses. In those days, there was no king in Israel, and everyone did what was right in his own eyes. We see that same kind of idea that's conveyed when Sodom and Gomorrah was to be destroyed, and when Noah was building the ark, the world was so corrupt. Everyone does what's right in their own eyes. They're directing their own steps, but the paths that they're making on their own has no leadership before them. They are the leader. For us as Christians, for the world, that's the dangerous place to be. We don't know what God wants unless we are told by Him. Oops, sorry about that. It's 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 7. And the Lord said to Samuel, heed the voice of the people in all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. I kept reading that passage last night, and the poignancy of what it was saying hurt more and more the more I read it. God, this protector of a people, this called out people that He's protecting them, this special people that He has put His arms around and protected from the time when they were in Egypt, and even plans for them beforehand to take care of them. And they decided that judges weren't enough. They wanted to have a king like the people around them. And this is God, the one who created these people, saying, listen, Samuel, do what they want. They want to have this. They're not rejecting you. They are rejecting me, that I should not reign over them. Just think of what that took for God to say that to Samuel. And just imagine the pain that God felt. We see that too with our leadership. If a leader is appointed in a position of power and they're held accountable for what they do, when those people behind them aren't going to allow them to do their job, maybe even causing a burden for them, they're always having to get them going again, that's taking away their leadership skills, and then we can do that to God as well. David let God lead his path through life by continuing with God. And I've got a couple of things here, bullets, and some points of words here. Boy, I'm never going to use this animation technique again. So the word inquired. One of the things that stands out for me about what David did, compared to some of the others like we'll talk about and We see others of the Old Testament, especially even into the New Testament, thinking what they knew. They knew God was somewhat with them, and so they would take on these leadership roles of their own, saying, well, I think I got a better idea. Let's do this. Even though God said not to do it, even though it wasn't for them to do, again, specifically, I'm thinking about Saul when he just was not willing to wait for the prophet to get back there and he was going to take things into his own hands. That's not what we want to do. David, one reason he's called the friend of God and one reason he was talked about so well to his son Solomon and to us in Scripture beyond that is that David sought to inquire to God before he did anything. A leader before, those two things come prior to us following. That's one thing that we don't do in our prayers. That's one thing that we don't do in our plans. We do plans and then we say, God, please help this be the right decision. How many of us have done that? God, I just took a job. I just moved to a new city. Please be with me. I mean, isn't that us taking the step on our own? I've been guilty of it. I've had to pay the prices for that sometimes in my life. But if we really have this down pat, if we let God lead us, or say, God, I've got a job situation. I've got a difficult situation. I've got a family situation. Here's what I'm thinking. Please help me understand. Please show me the way to get there. The word inquired means to seek information by questioning, to ask, to make investigation. So you're actually not just taking the word for it, you're actually looking into it, or to seek by learning, by asking, or for instance, to inquire a person's name. 1 Samuel 23:2, therefore David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go and attack these Philistines? And the Lord said, David, go and attack the Philistines and save Keilah. Again, I was going to go into some detail on some of these. Keilah is a town that the Philistines attacked. I believe in this situation, David has just been appointed king and is certainly wanting to do this, but he doesn't just go off and do it on his own. He asks God, should I do this? And then he says, go and attack the Philistines and save them. 1 Samuel 36:8. Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in what? In the fact that he was a king? No, he strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Then David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, please bring the ephod here to me. And Abiathar brought the ephod to David. I think you guys just heard a lesson while I was gone a few weeks ago on this. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he, talking about the Lord, answered him, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them without fail and recover all. This I would encourage you to look at 1 Samuel chapter 30 and look at the situation that David faces himself in. It's not looking good for him. The people are certainly not happy with him. But it says, in all this difficulty, and if you read the chapter, you'll see that even David's two wives have been taken away. Things are just extremely bad for him, but he strengthened himself in his God, and he went to his God for a direction. 2 Samuel 2:1, and it happened after this that David inquired of the Lord, again, going to God for what he should do next, saying, shall I go up to the cities of Judah? And the Lord said to him, go up. So David got his first answer. And David said, where shall I go up? And he said, to Hebron. What does the Hebron have to do with later time in the Jewish history? Interesting things. Not only did he tell him to go up and gave him an answer there, but he said where he should do it. 2 Samuel 5:23, therefore David inquired of the Lord, and he said, you shall not go up, circle around behind them, and come upon them in the front of the mulberry trees. Again, David asking a question. The few examples I've given you so far, God said, yep, I'm with you. That's a good idea. Do it. But here, he says, nope, don't do it that way. Do it this way. And we see what happened if you would read the chapter there. 2 Samuel 21:1. Now there was a famine in the days of David for 3 years, year after year. And David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord answered, it is because of Saul and his bloodthirsty house, because he killed the Gibeonites. Again, if you want to learn more about these things, you can read these chapters. I will post them. But again, David's trying to figure, okay, what's going on here, God? Tell me what's happening. And God explains it to him. The other thing that we do, besides just this idea of inquiring of God, is seeking, or the word sought. Definition, to attempt to find something. Psalms 34:4 says, I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. It means He had fears. He was dealing with difficulties. But as we talked about, a good leader is going to be able to deliver you from difficult things, but only if you put that leader in a position of being able to do that. If we let God lead, He will be able to do those things for us. Psalms 14:2, the Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men. He used this verse many times to see if there are any who understand, who seek God. And in most cases, that is not true. A Christian is to be a different person from the world. We are to let God lead us. And this idea of seeking God is a part of that plan. Isaiah 55:6, seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. How many times have we had things happen in our lives and we had a moment that seemed like, this is probably the best thing that I should do, and we don't do it. And then down the road, maybe a week later, maybe a month or years later, things fall apart because we didn't take advantage of that. If the Lord is near us, we know the Lord, we know who He is, and we have an opportunity to take advantage of Him, to get the benefit and the protection that He offers, that's when we should call to Him. Go back and go to the first example I gave you. If you've got a leader, and maybe you start trailing behind, and the leader has got other people behind them, and they're so focused in on that group that you kind of fall off, maybe you've hurt yourself, when's the best time to say, hey, wait for me. I've hurt my leg. I can't catch up. Is it better to wait until they're an hour past and say, hey, somebody help? Or should you call on them while they're nearby? If something happens to a person that's behind a good leader, he says, hey, I need help. Stops everybody, and he deals with the situation. Goes into some great lessons we've heard recently about the shepherd and the sheep. Certainly works into this. Hebrews 11:6, something we'll be getting to very soon in our adult class. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Always in my lessons, pay attention to the underlying words. He who comes to God, we have to find God, He has to be our leader, and we have to keep Him there and diligently seek Him. That means don't lose sight of Him. The best thing that you can do if you're looking for something is to keep looking for it over and over again. Never lose sight of it. Pay attention. How many times have our cars kind of slid off to the side of the road when we're looking out the window and not the road in front of us? Or how many times have we had that moment of absolute panic when the car in front of us that was doing 55 with us suddenly has stopped and we haven't? That's a little scary, right? Paying attention to that car would cause that never to happen. We also talk about leadership and leading. To cause a person or animal to go with one by holding them by the hand, a halter, a rope, etc., while moving forward. To be in charge or command of. Romans chapter 2:4 says, or do you despise the riches of His goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? That's what should be our leadership. The goodness of God. God, I am a person. God, I live on this planet. God, You give me a choice. God, You've given me talents and hands, and I'm able to do things. I'm able to communicate. I'm able to love people. I'm able to accomplish things with a group. Because of all that, I want to be Your child. I want You to follow me. I want You to lead me in my life. So that's the first stage. 2 Corinthians 2:14, now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph. That's another thing to remember. We have leaders in our lives that sometimes will lead us, but only for a moment. Yeah, I'm a manager at work. Or yeah, I'm a Boy Scout leader. And every weekend we do this, or every month we do this. God's on call constantly. He never stops being on call. He's always available for us, and that's what's so great about prayer. Always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge in every place. I've gone through the Bible a number of times. I probably skipped past this verse, and I've never seen this stated like this. This is New King James, but I think this idea, I checked my Greek lexicon, or Greek translation, and it seems to be pretty accurate, that through us diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge in every place. A diffuser, if you've ever known that, most women know what a diffuser is. Back in the days when they actually would get perfume and ointments in a diffuser, you'd put it inside there, and when you spray, all of us know how that works, whether you're putting on cologne or perfume, is it atomizes that chemical that's inside there and lets you put it on a neck or wrist or wherever you put it, and it makes that fragrance. People smell that. That's kind of what's going on here. This idea of letting God lead also involves us following Him, showing that we are listening to His leadership. The world is able to see Christ in us, and that's basically, as I understand it, what this verse is trying to let us know. Through us diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge. How does the world smell God, if you could say it that way? How does the world, the senses in a person that doesn't know God, how can they recognize the goodness of God? Well, because there should be something about us that draws them in. You know, sometimes the cartoons do that. They have a person wearing a nice fragrance, and they're walking around, and you see all these little waves floating in the air, and maybe a woman's got a fragrance on, and there's guys standing around, and then they just kind of float off the ground, and they fly across the air because that smells so good. They become distracted because of that fragrance. Wouldn't it be great if the world was distracted by what we are showing to them and God in our lives? A great way to let God lead us. James 4:10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. Getting back to this idea of just following God. How do we let God lead us? We have to be humble. We have to understand that they know what they're doing, that God knows what He's doing, and so we have to let Him direct us, even if we think there might be a better way. So up and forward. This idea of letting God lead requires us getting up and following that leader. That's all I have for you today. I hope that the songs and the scriptures that were read both earlier and just now are helpful to you. As always, most of my titles, and we probably hear this from most everybody that does lessons here, these lessons are based on maybe things that we need to try to incorporate in our lives. God will lead us at any time. Christ is ready to be our Savior, but they have to be allowed to do that. Not by us, we're not giving them permission, but we have to fashion our lives to the point where they can be our manager, our life manager, our life ruler, and we have to stay with them as closely as we can. Remember, a good manager will not let an employee suffer harm. God will do the same to us. So if you have any needs this morning, maybe you haven't been letting God lead, maybe you've been asking for help, and maybe just not thinking about it the right way, God can lead your life now through either baptism or for acknowledging that you have been too far from the front of the pack and you need Him to be there for us. Please stand and sing with a song that has been selected.